punished over in the Bible. I'll never have time to tell you about the Santa Claus story. I don't have an Easter Bunny story, but I can tell you a lot of people who deny the scripture and deny God's word, they want to take the resurrection and put it in the realm of Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, Greek mythology, historical fiction, stuff that never happened, but people made up. The disciples, the early disciples, they didn't really see a resurrected Christ. They were just so believing in him that they wanted to believe it so much that they imagined that it happened. And how do we know whether the resurrection really happened or not? We have a court case, or really most of our knowledge is based upon witness, what people have seen and heard. Most of the things that we believe, we didn't actually go through the experiments ourselves. We didn't actually see it all. We took it based on testimony and witness, what people saw and heard. Now, if somebody lies to you over and over again, suppose there's a news broadcast, and you know every time you listen to them, they lie. After a while, you don't believe their testimony anymore. You go to somebody else, you say, well, this person always tells me the truth. When he says this, I believe it. Well, that's the way we judge historical knowledge. In a court case, when you have a dispute, what do? They don't bring in a scientist to give you a formula to say, well, this really could have happened because this formula says that. They call in witnesses who were there, who saw and heard, and testify to what they saw and heard to determine what was true and what was not. God has given us the witness. Just remember the New Testament. Why do we have the New Testament? Why do we have those four Gospels? Because they were eyewitnesses to the events that happened. And they shared it. And they copied them out. We have thousands of manuscripts, of ancient manuscripts of the New Testament, dating back to the early 2nd century, within 30 years or 40 years of when the original was written. We found copies in Egypt of those same messages. So people want to say, well, you see, all these things about miracles, about the resurrection, people just wanted to add that to Christianity later on. It wasn't what was there. No, what we have are the eyewitness accounts. And these are the things that came down to us because it was so important to those that heard and believed in the message that God had given, that Christ was risen indeed. And I want to look at some of those witnesses. I want to call them into court to tell us what they saw and heard. The first one I want to add is in Luke 24. Man named Cleopas. You might say, you know, it was an eventful week. He believed in Jesus, Messiah. He believed he was the Messiah. But our rulers hated him, crucified him, he was dead. We were in Jerusalem. Me, like his man, and we're heading to Emmaus. And we kept talking about what happened. You know, sadness was written all over our faces because our hope was gone. We thought that he was the one. There was a stranger that came by, was listening to our conversation. He asked us about, what are you talking about? We were kind of incredulous. He said, you're the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what happened there. He said, what are you talking about? What things? said about Jesus of Nazareth. The first day on Palm Sunday, everyone welcomed him. Hosanna, the King of Israel. We thought he was going to establish his rule. They got him. And they turned him over to the Romans. And they crucified him. Their hope went with it. And this man, he said, O fools and slow of heart, believe all that was written in the scriptures. And he opened us the Old Testament. And he said, Messiah was supposed to suffer. He showed us Isaiah 53. He showed us Psalm 22. And not only was he supposed to suffer and die, but he was supposed to rise again. Just as he had said, just as he had promised. And we welcome into our house. It's late. Why don't you stay with us for the night? And while he was breaking the bread, our eyes were open. And we saw that it was Jesus. He was alive. And even though we said to him, hey, stay because it's late, we got up that very moment and rushed back to Jerusalem. And we said, the Lord is risen. You know what they said? He's risen indeed. Absolutely. He's appeared to so many. Was it just because people were so believing in Jesus they wanted to believe it? No, these were people who didn't want to believe it, didn't expect it. Many infallible proofs. And there was another man, we'll call him to witness. He was one of the 12. Went around with Jesus. His name was Thomas. Yeah, I was with Jesus. I saw all the things he did. You know, I was from Missouri. I was from the Show Me State. I don't believe, you know, some people came back and said, yeah, he's risen from the dead. Yeah, sure, right. I won't believe unless I stick my fingers in the holes in his hand. Unless I put my hand in his side, I'll never believe. A week later, they were gathered together, and right through the very doors, Jesus came in. He said to me, Thomas, don't be faithless. Believe. I bowed down and said, my Lord and my God. There was no doubt then. It was at first. But Jesus said, it's me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a phantasm. I'm flesh and bones. I'm real. I'm risen from the dead. He's alive. There's another one. I changed his name. Simon changed to Peter, or Cephas, stone. He had been the most... Simon was a what you see is what you get guy. You know, he was the one who would blurt things out. Whatever he thought, he'd speak. Even if he didn't know what to say, he'd say it. You know, but he would have a heart full of devotion for the Lord Jesus. And at one time he proclaimed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And all the while they're going to Jerusalem. And Jesus kept telling us he's going to suffer and die and rise again. And boom, it went right over our heads. We were too busy wondering who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And the Lord even told me and told us, you're all going to be scattered. And I said, no, not me, Lord. I'll be faithful. Even if all the rest are not, you can count on me. The Lord said to me, well, really, when the rooster crows, you'll deny knowing me three times. I didn't believe him. We were in the garden. The Lord was full of heaviness. And here comes Judas, this band of punks or clubs, but Judas is leading them. And, well, I was going to show Jesus. I pulled my sword out. And I was aiming for the head. I only got his ear. And I took his ear off. I showed the Lord I was going to stand for him. I wouldn't deny him. He said to me, he healed the ear and he said, put up your sword. And let's take the sword down by the sword. That's not the way. That's not my way. I tried to follow him, and I became a coward in front of everybody in the courtyard. Three times, I don't know the man. I even cursed and swore I didn't know him. And I heard the rooster crow. He looked at me. Now, weeping bitterly, but it was all over. Until after the resurrection, the earth, the woman came and said, the stone's rolled away. It's not there. John and I ran, wasn't there. So the Lord Jesus came to me personally and forgave me. Showed me that he was truly living. When I ran to the tomb, I was slow to run. I remembered all the things I'd done and said. Later on in Galilee, he appeared again to us on the shore, and John said, it's the Lord. Well, I couldn't wait until the boat got back to shore. I jumped into the water because I could get to the Lord as soon as I could because he's risen. He was alive. No story. No made-up story. It was the absolute truth. Seen him. Call another witness. A man named James. Jacob was his name. James is called him. New Testament. James, what do you know? Well, I was the brother of the Lord Jesus. I grew up with him. You know what? I was a pretty good carpenter. He was always better. He always thought he was perfect. All these things in the house tend to. He had this. We didn't believe in him. We didn't believe in him at the time. He had this kind of messianic complex. He went into our synagogue in Nazareth one time. He reads the scripture about the anointed Messiah, and he proclaims, I am he. And he starts bad-mouthing. He was telling people, oh, you're going to say this to me, heal yourself. No. And he says something about how God only sent the prophets to the Gentiles to heal the leper, or to heal the Syrophoenician woman. And the people in town got so angry, they wanted to throw him over the hill. They were trying to kill him. That didn't do very much good for our business in Nazareth. And here we hear, he's going around all over the country. You know, our father died when we were young, and he was out telling everybody about how his father sent him. And how he was doing only what his father said. And he goes over to Capernaum, and everybody's a big roar throughout the whole country. Even the leaders in Jerusalem, they sent representatives to figure out what's this, what's going on here. He thought he was crazy. He thought he was out of his mind. So we as a family, we had to do an intercession. We go where Jesus is, and we go to the house, and we couldn't get in. There were so many people gathered there. And we sent message, hey, your mother, your brother's outside. when I talked, you know what he said? He looked around on everybody. He said, who's my mother and my brothers? You will hear the word of God. You will hear it. We didn't believe in him at that time. But after the resurrection, Jesus came to me personally. And my family, and we know our attitude, our thoughts of him changed radically. As we thought back about him, his youth, and growing up with him, we didn't realize at that time. But we were observing, we were jealous. Mom always liked him best. He always did the best. He never made mistakes, never had to say he was sorry. Any of that stuff that we always did when we realized that he was God manifested. He was living in our home. And yes, he died. But he's alive. He's risen. He appeared to James. And James and his brothers, we look in Acts, how they now are fellowshipping and meeting with all those early believers. And James becomes one of the leaders in Jerusalem and actually writes one of the books of the Bible. Thought it so turned things around. Were these people that just wanted to believe so badly and they imagined Jesus risen from the dead? Now, most of them wouldn't believe, didn't want to believe. You know, today, people want to say, well, we're so much smarter than in that day. See, they were a bunch of gullible hicks, and they'd believe anything. And we're so much more intelligent now. You know, we have all this technology. We're so much smarter. What arrogance. What lies are they? These men had to be convinced by infallible proofs that it was the truth. And they became witnesses. Jesus said, you are my witness. Go and tell people what you've seen and heard. Share it. Go throughout the whole world. And they did. And Paul, you find Paul going to Thessalonica. And when he comes there, you know what the people say? Those that are turning the world upside down have come here also. Could they turn the world upside down? They were fearful. There were times when they locked the doors for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came right in their midst. And now suddenly they become lions. Peter, who at one point totally denies the Lord, the next minute you see him preaching in Jerusalem, saying, you have crucified the Prince of Life. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses. We're witnesses. Well, they spread the story that, you know, the Roman guard was asleep, and the disciples came and rolled the stone away and stole the body. They weren't that gullible. They knew what a lie it was. They were asleep, how did they know who stole the body? Yeah. We know the truth of what really happened. But these witnesses were a witness even unto death. They weren't frauds. They weren't liars. They fully believed in the truth that they said. In fact, the word for witness, because so many of these witnesses laid down their life asserting the truth of what they saw and heard. They were put to death, and that's where the word martyr comes from. The word for witness is the word martyrao, where martyr comes from. These early believers in the New Testament establishes the highest level of morality. Lying and fraud was a shame to them. They spoke of Jesus as the truth. They were not the type of men that would just try to deceive. They were those, the witnesses that you can fully believe their testimony, who sealed them with their life. And they're, go read through the book of Acts, and everywhere they went, the message was that Jesus died and was crucified, and God raised him from the dead. Men's opinion of him was to crucify him. God's opinion was to raise him from the dead, to set him at his own right hand, and to send his Holy Spirit to indwell the believers. And that became the power and the message of the early church. And yes, they did turn the world upside down. Actually, somebody said, you know, I got that wrong. They turned the world right side up. It was already upside down. Men's minds were already deceived. They presented the truth of God's word with them. And Paul in 1 Corinthians, and he's another witness in Paul, he was a persecutor. He hated Christians. They were idolaters. They were worshiping another God they called Jesus. He was on his way to Damascus, and Jesus struck him down. He saw a great light that blinded him by that light. Paul would say, why are you persecuting me? Paul says, Lord, I'm worried about you. I'm Jesus. He became apostles, Gentiles, went throughout the whole Roman world. And his, the gospel that he preached is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, and that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, and of the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present day. Some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me. Look at those witnesses. How many they are. Are they liars? Do they perpetrate the biggest fraud on the world? Or do they tell the truth? No. Even if I could convince you to say, okay, historically, there's good reason to believe the witness of these men, that Jesus died and rose again. That's not enough for your salvation. See what he says? He delivered unto them how Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. It's not enough to believe about the historical person of Christ and what happened to him. And even to say, yeah, it's good evidence that he rose again. You have to see that when he's hanging on the cross and becoming a curse, that's not proof that he wasn't the Messiah because he was cursed of God. It's proof that he was the Messiah who took our curse and died for our sins. That he hung there for my sins. And I deserve to be there. But you deserve to be there. And that God accepted that sacrifice and man's overrode man's opinion, and he raised him from the dead. Is that a unique event? Yeah. Is he a unique person? Absolutely. Yeah, a unique birth. His words, no man ever spoke like him. The works that he did throughout all of Palestine, of Israel, no one else did. It was all predicted years before by the prophets and the details of his death and resurrection. we're told. From the beginning, he told the world, he said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He's talking about his resurrection, his death and resurrection. Like Jonah, 3 days and three nights. Okay, now, when he preached, he was the one known as the one who died and rose again. And so, yeah, Jonah has had a witness about him. He heard about what happened to him. He's alive again. A witness about him. He's the one who died and rose again. And he lives. As we can see, you can know truly that he's alive in heaven, not just because we say so. But as you bow and believe his word and believe the testimony that he died for your sins, was raised for your justification, now lives in heaven for you and me, the assurance that we will be raised also, because he was raised from the dead. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the true God who came down from his place in glory to become a servant, to humble himself, to go to the cross, to take away our sins. But God was so pleased with him, gave him the name above every name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord. See, Lord of your life. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, what? That God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There were those in the early church day that say, there's no such thing as resurrection. You read this chapter 15, Paul says, what are you talking about? There's no resurrection. Christ isn't raised. Christ isn't raised. We're still in our sins. We're false witnesses of God. We're of most men, we're meant to be most pitied, most miserable. Because we're suffering for the truth of this, and it's a lie. What do you think you are? Those early believers were not most miserable. They were some of the happiest people in the world. The Lord had given them such joy, even in the midst of their suffering. The Holy Spirit, Christ living within them. They knew he lives because he lives in their hearts. We know he lives because he lives in our hearts. And we ask him to forgive us. We know he is Lord. We believe what he says, the truth of his resurrection. Promises to come and abide within us. And he does. And we become witnesses. There are still witnesses going on 2,000 years later. How did the witness ever get to us? After all this time, after all those years where Rome tried to stamp it out, could never. Because the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, indwelt the believers, the truth of his resurrection. He lives. When they came on that Sunday morning and they say, he is risen, they say, he is risen indeed. Truly risen. We know he is risen. So, Lord, we thank you that we serve the risen Savior. Not a dead idealist. Not a story made up by men. Not in the realm of men's mythology and lies. But by many infallible proofs of those who were there, who saw and heard, and wrote it down for us, and copied it over and over, so we have thousands of their copies. We know, we thank you, Lord, we have it in your word. Thank you for the scriptures. in those Old Testament scriptures that testify the truth of your death and resurrection. We give you thanks and praise. Amen.